arbitration with Hardy Wine. I'm Hardy Wine. Oh, join me now, won't you? We're going to let it all out. We're going to let all the joy out. He'll say, where'd the joy go? I said, we let it out. We talked about that. He said, well, get it back here. It'll come back. It'll come back because it knows it's time to eat.
Welcome to Today the News. I'm Robert Kobich. Today in news, both nationally and locally, legislature convened to undertake more or less to put forth unto bills that will be considered, and many of them formed into law. In the island nation of Suriname, there was another weather incident. We're going to go,
why are you talking like this, Hardy? Well, I was thinking, maybe some of you are listening to this while you're going through a drive-thru fast food to pick up something to eat, and you might be embarrassed if you thought the person taking your order knew you were listening to Hardy White. And so I wanted to sound as if it were a newscast and you were sort of erudite and keeping up with things. And you say, well, why would I want to impress the person at the fast food drive-thru's taking my order, Hardy? I don't know. You tell me. But sometimes I do get self-conscious. Maybe I am frivolous. Well, I know I'm frivolous. Maybe that's not good. Maybe I'm taking up space. It's like on public transport. You're sitting down and someone walks in and you think, do they have more of a right to the seat? And almost it's always yes, because standing really would be better for me. I'm a person that should be standing. Not only don't I have to sit, it's probably not good for me to sit. Get up off of that thing, Hardy, and give up your seat. And I don't care who takes it necessarily. Let's say someone takes it who doesn't deserve it, like a person who has some sort of built-in seat. They've got like a tail or something. What if it's a kangaroo who can sit on its own tail, and yet they still take the seat? You see, that's undeserving, and that's not just. Well, it's not up to me, especially because kangaroos, I think, can disembowel you with a kick. I could be wrong. I know there's another, there's a bird, and I always block out its name, and you're shouting it right now. But, oh, it's not going to come to me. But cassowary. And they can rip you open because they have on their foot, they have a sort of, remember those old can openers that your grandmother had? That were sort of a sharp, like a razor hook, like a talon. They have one of those. It's the size of a child, and it can just rip your guts out. Oh, that's horrible. Why would you talk about? I don't know. I didn't make it. It's part of nature. It's a bird. It's out there ripping guts open. I don't know when it comes up in nature. It might. Say, oh, man, you're really getting on my nerves. Rip. Oh, that's where the expression comes from. I'm glad I'm not a bird because I don't want to frighten you. Why would being a bird frighten you? Well, you tell me. Again, maybe you should be doing this broadcast. But birds often frighten folks when they are inside instead of outside. I've been in situations where somebody left a window open, and unfortunately a bird who had planned on crashing into the glass, I guess, instead flew into the house. What a shock. And all of a sudden is in the house and then is sort of trapped because it's like one of those finger puzzles that you put, you go, how I got in now, how did I get out? And I guess a bird's soul is sort of barbed. So if it enters something, it can't always go out the same way because of some unseen force. And so the bird becomes alarmed and begins to panic and flutters about in the house. And this startles those who are in there who are getting suddenly they get a puss full of bird wing and say, what the heck? What is this startled bird doing? Well, then they begin to panic. And the bird begins to panic, and everybody panics, and the panic grows exponentially, like an echo or that vibration that destroyed that bridge that wobbled itself into non-existence. Don't do that. Oh, if I see you wobbling like that, friend, where I think, oh, you're going to tear yourself apart because you've got some sort of vibration going, let me change those vibrations. with a 70s soft drink or something. What can change your vibrations? I don't know. Are we all vibrating? Some people say, oh, you're giving off good vibrations or bad vibrations. Am I? I know I chill easy. I could be just shaking. Are you talking about the shivering? Because I'm just cold. I'll wear long underwear when it gets below like 40. Is that crazy? Because I think if it can freeze things on the outside, maybe it's going to freeze me on the inside. I don't want that to happen. I don't want to be frozen on the inside, especially my heart, both literally and figuratively. I don't want my heart frozen unless it can help people when I'm gone. Somehow my frozen heart. So well, I know they like them fresh often to put into somebody else. But the frozen ones, I guess, in a pinch or something, so well, just, I guess, bring me a frozen heart. That'll have to do. It's not quite as good as fresh. And I know it makes a difference with fish. But I don't know with a human heart. And I don't know if you could replace a human heart with a fish. I think it's been tried. What hasn't been tried in science? They put a baboon in someone's heart. No, it was a baboon heart. I'm sorry. I thought it was an actual baboon, a very small one, that they put in place of a heart. And they said, you sit here, and you're just going to squeeze all these tubes that come in. Can you do that for me, baboon? Mm-hmm. I don't know that bad. I think they scream. I think baboons scream. And that's what killed the program, is the patients were like, I can't abide by this, doctor. Well, what's the problem? Well, just let's sit with me for a minute here. So instead of a heartbeat, there's a muted primate scream. And nobody wants that. And so that ended. And now I don't know what they do. Oh, I know, saving lives. I wish I could save lives with my words. I can sometimes. Stop. You know, you're going to, there's a car coming or something. I could do that, save lives with my words. I don't know if I could help you with them. That's subtle. People who can do that. There are people, and I've seen them, and they're on their radio, TV, and everything, who can give you answers to change your life, to make everything better. How about that? I don't know. I don't even know how to go about that. That's next level. I can't really tell you that. I can't even give you those hints about how not to get your clothes wrinkled when you pack or something. I feel very information deficient. I want to be able to help you, but I guess I haven't studied up enough. Oh, that's my fault. You know, so, oh, I wish I was a nurse. Well, you could have taken care of that by going to nursing school. Oh, yeah, but I'm lazy. Well, that's a good thing you're not a nurse then. Well, how can I help? Well, there's all sorts of things you could do. Also, there's one last category, and that is staying out of the way. Oh, maybe I could do that. I know I could do that. I did that as a child. That was my job. All right, then. So you've shown an affinity for it your whole life. And I think maybe you could do that now. Yes, but what if it's just, what if I could learn something and be a little more helpful? If I just, you know, tried harder. Well, yeah, are you want to do that? Yes. Well, what do you want to shoot for? I guess like a nuclear scientist. I mean, like a, what do you call him? Like an astrophysicist? Would that be? You know, I think you're shooting a little high there. I mean, that's not something that, I mean, that you might could have started earlier on that one is the only one I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I was thinking like volunteer someplace, learn how to fold sheets or something to help out. Because there's a lot of opportunities to do things to free up more skilled people so that the more skilled people can go do skilled jobs and you, the equivalent of a robot or a tired monkey, could then do that job. All right. Who are you talking to? I'm talking to Hardy White mainly. I'm talking to myself. And because I'm letting you eavesdrop, maybe I'm being helpful. I compare it to a scenario where somebody's running around in front of the house and I go, there's emergency or something. And I open the door and go, what's going on? And they say, we need something. And I go, I don't know what that is. Come on in my house and rummage around. See if you can find anything that will help with the situation. You see what I'm saying? And that's what I'm thinking, except it's not a house, it's my brain. So you can come in and rummage around and see if anything in my head can help you with the situation. And you say, yes, we've spilled something and we want to use your brain as a sponge. I was hoping something more. Okay. But I was thinking about something like thoughts or memories I'd stored in there, or ideas that I'd had, or unique ways of approaching a situation. What is that? What's your unique way of approaching situations? Backwards, I back into them so that I can run away faster. That's one of the ways that I approach situations. Oh, I'm not going to pretend that I am a brave human being. I'm not one of the braver ones. Am I? I don't think I am. I haven't been super-duper tested. I've been through virtual reality simulations to see, but you never know how you're going to react when it's a real plank. But I don't know how brave I am. I'd like to think that I'm aware that you can be trapped by your fears. Fears, oh my goodness. They're like the bad guys in Follow That Bird. You ever see that Big Bird movie? Oh, and Big Bird is being chased by Second City, the cast of the Toronto TV show. And he's like, I got to get away, I got to get away. And Dave Thomas is following him and all. So I don't know if I think something bad happens to him. At one point, he's dyed blue so that they don't know. Horse thieves used to do that. So we're going to paint a big face on the side of this one because the one that we stole didn't have a face. And so they see this one, they'll think it's a different Big Bird if we paint him blue. Oh, and then he sings a sad song. It's a good movie. The sound, it's a little hard to hear for me. I don't know, it's something about some of those live-action Sesame Street, Elmo and Grouchland also. I don't know, but the sound isn't great. I don't know what's going on there. Maybe they got a friend to do it. That's happened. You do a project and go, I'm going to get somebody's nephew to do the really important part. Oh, no. Well, it's sometimes community is more important than having a perfect thing. I've thought that. So sometimes it's just better. So it's flawed. Big deal. You can hear it. Do you know what was going on? Yes. Then there you go. I mean, everything comes into existence the way it is. And the sound sometimes won't be perfect. The picture won't be perfect. Maybe the story. Maybe the actor is wearing his hair different in this scene than he was in the last. So, you understand what's going on. People don't necessarily notice those things. They know it's a story. They're playing along. They know it's just a movie. They don't think it's reality, do they? Yes. They think that suddenly there are giants, and the giants are acting out their lives in a giant window. And they're sitting in a big building in front of them. You're describing a movie theater? Yes, I'm sorry. Well, a lot of people watch it at home and all now. All right, well, let's say it's a movie theater. Movie theater. And they're watching it on the big screen, but they don't think it's a big screen. They think it's a big window. All right. And outside the window are giants. I see what you're saying. And then sometimes the building flies. Okay. And we're all flying and looking out that window, and it's flying over mountains and over cities and everything. I love those shots in movies. I love shots that were done maybe on a helicopter, but they cut the helicopter sound out. So you just think, bah, 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 and it's flying over the city. If you really had the sound, it'd be, are we losing altitude? No, we're not losing altitude. Flop over there or something. I don't know. I'm just putting that. Isn't that fun? We should do that. Add that to movie clips. Oh, that'd be fun. Make a joke out of them or something. I like at the end of them. I wait for all movies. I just saw a movie, and it was a big scary murder crime one, but I was still waiting for the blooper reel. I don't know. I thought it'd be fun. Lighten it up a little bit. Those are the kind of movies that need it. Let's see the John Wick bloopers. Because you kind of go, oh, man, I get that so violent. Here, I can't remember his line in this one. He stabs the wrong dummy head or something like that. I don't know. I'm always trying to make things a little lighter. I don't want to make light of things that are serious. I know when to be serious and when to I have respect for the human experience. So many of us are experiencing loss or grief. And at the same time, there's those people come. So I want to be lifted up. I'm ready to laugh. I'm ready to go to the circus. And say, well, we have, this is a circus that also has mourning people. Oh, how are we going to navigate that? Look, life is complicated. Oh, it's so complicated. But one thing that's always appropriate is love and understanding of our fellow human beings' condition, what they're going through. And always know that wherever you are, there are people that are going through stuff and it's difficult for them. And so, well, what do I owe them? And you go, oh, come on, let's not do that. Let's not even go there. You don't want to live in a world without kindness or without thoughtfulness. It's harsh. So I can do it. No, you can do it in video games and all. But really living where other human beings are just de facto not your allies is a world of fear. Oh, you don't want to live in that. Oh, come with me to a world where you look at your fellow creature. And you say, and you look into your eyes, and you say, am I scaring you by looking to your eyes? And they go a little, and they go, let's both choose to look to the side. And we look to the side, and you say to that fellow creature, I'm so glad to be here alive on earth with you. And I understand that life is suffering, life is joy, life is various things at various times, isn't it? It just keeps going, wow, how crazy and varied it is. It's like a compilation album that say, what's the theme? They're, I just don't know. I don't know. My vacillating mood. That's a what a nice album that was. I have a lot of record albums from, I guess, the 50s or 60s, maybe early 60s, let's say, and they're mood music albums. And they'll say, music for eating a plate of capers or something. And then it'll be like, that's the actually, that's the Monsieur Hulot on vacation theme that I use all the time. But it'd be like jazz, like, oh, smooth. Yeah, music for eating. When I'm eating, I don't want to. Sometimes I go to a restaurant and they play all the hits of my youth. And they go, this is weird. This is weirding me out a little bit. I feel like I'm eating in a time machine. I feel like I'm going back. Why did I go back to the 80s? Now I'm sitting in that restaurant in the mall. Why did you take me back there? Now I have all my teenage problems or something. My teenage. Oh, I wish. The clock is ticking. I looked at the calendar the other day. I put my little face on it. I have been doing this for all the years of my life. From the day I was born, I took a little picture of myself, and I pasted it on a calendar. And it's sort of advent calendar for death. And every day I put my little picture on there, and I can gauge my progress. See, I'm getting older. And at first it was great. So, look, I'm turning into a handsome young human being. And then all of a sudden, it's like, what's going on now? Now it seems to be going the other way. Oh, it's becoming lived in. And then after lived in becomes pre-grotesque, but it's beautiful. So, you know, the human face is beautiful. It is and is. You know what? I'm not putting it down. I love it. I love the way we look. But it's just, oh, it's magnificent. The way it chooses to age and change into something that's beautiful in a different, less obvious way. And I'm for that, for sure. It's also on the receiving end, though, and I'm not vain. I'm just saying sometimes it's a little appalling. I'm up for it. But it's not, you know, beware, youngsters. Your elders will always say this, you know, there's wonderful things ahead and joy in life, but also be conscious that you're this vessel that does not last. And it'd be nice if you got that now. You'd have a little extra few years of enlightenment you can do things with, like travel. I don't know. I have nothing to, all I offer is some company. And some stock in that company, if you're interested in it. No, I can't sell you any stock right now. I'm not allowed to, but the people who have been able to are doing great. It has doubled their money. And, I mean, I'll let you know if they're taking on new investors. But right now, it's just a certain select group of people who are in on this. But next time I come back to the bar, I'll talk to you about it. Maybe we can do it. Yes, please, because I would love to write you a check for all my money. Well, not now, you know, but we'll come back. We'll see what's up 2 months later. Hey, you know what? We are taking on exactly two more investors. I don't know if you're still interested. Yes, I am very much so. Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, no, I would never do that to you. I would never promise you something like that if I could not deliver. I would never have a delivery service for nothing. I would never have a number up on a poster that says, call this number if you want something delivered. And you call it and you say, what is it that you deliver? And I say, where did you get this number? I'd never play you for a fool like that. If I'm going to offer something, I'm gonna deliver it. Or I will have a mutual friend pick it up and bring it to you. They never did? Oh, let me make a quick call. I'll get right back to you, ghost. That's not me, friends. Oh, Hardy White, I want you to stand with me. I will. I'll stand right here as we go through the drive-thru. I don't mind. I'll be myself. I'm not afraid. Hello. Let me say hello to the person at the drive-thru. Let me just say hello. Say hi. I just wanted to say hello to you. I want to apologize on behalf of all human beings if you've ever been pranked or anything. Bless you. I'm so sorry. It's horrible. Two, I have respect for you. I think you're probably a bright, caring, smart person, and all jobs are necessary. We do what we can. And don't let anybody put you down for working a service job or any job that you have to do to get by. I'm not saying it's right that some of us have to work crappy jobs, but, you know, bless you. I don't want to ruin anybody's day. Who'd want to do that? Could you just go ahead and place your order? I'm sorry. My friend here sitting in the driver's seat will do that, and then we can continue our conversation while we wait, because I know sometimes the fries take a little minute. So, how are you? Listen, I want to ask you a question. I'm not from around here. Are there any good places to take a walk outdoors? I don't mean like a sidewalk or city. I mean like to go see in the woods or anything. Is that something you do? Do you ever go, not serious hiking. I don't want to climb up a mountain or anything. Just one of those little paths they have for older people. So if you want to walk through here, see an occasional bird or something, old soda can, but a very old one, like an old tab from the 70s. Is there a place like that? And say, yeah, I think so. I think Nature Run, is it far from here? I've got our order. We can go on now, Hardy. Well, wait. Is it far from here? Could my friend here drive us over? Oh, yes. You just go up here, Interstate, State, U.S. All right. Thank you again. Thank you for the food. It smells very delicious. We pull away. Friend, I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but boy, that food smells too good. I'm thinking you're eating some of that delicious, fatty, salty stuff. It's so addicting. But can I just get just one fry off you? Hearty tax. That's it. I just want it. It smells so good, you can't waft that over here and not pass it. Right? Munch, munch, pass on them fries. I'm telling you what. Oh, I am glad to be with you. We're in the car. We're not in a car together? No, we're at the dining room table. All right, let's imagine it's a car. Let's do this. This is fun. We don't do this so much as adults anymore unless we're in a daycare situation. You sit at a table. Let's sit next to each other. Let's pretend the table we're sitting at is a car. You pretend you're driving. If someone walks in, Hardy, I'm going to make a fool of myself. You're already making a fool of yourself. Unobserved, it's a tree falling in the forest situation. Just because no one's watching you doesn't mean you're not being a fool. So go ahead and be a fool. There's nobody around. No one's watching you. But you are being a fool, but that's okay. We're having fun. There's nothing wrong with having fun in the shadows so no one can see you. But this is not... Look, I'm driving. I'm sitting in the passenger seat. So if it's a radio or if it's coming from your phone... Do you ever have me just coming out of your phone like someone like on speakerphone who won't shut up? I'm just going to put it on speakerphone and set it here because I don't even get a word in edgewise when I'm on the phone with Hardy. Blah, 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 blah. What a day. Mr. So-and-so from the Shell Station's at it again. How can that blah, blah, blah? No. So sit me over here. I'm going to be a great companion. I'm not going to ramble or something or switch subjects. I'll stick to one. It'll be like a dang lecture or one of those talks or anything. I will pick something, a subject that I know well. Not one doesn't immediately come to mind, but I know there's something that I know well. When I was in the Weebelows, and I was briefly enlisted in the Weebelows, we had some kind of meeting where we're all supposed to bring or sign up to present our hobby. And I guess I seemed like a child that wasn't outgoing or didn't do anything or had no interest. And so a lot of the adults, out of pity and concern, thought we need to foster an interest, a hobby in this child. So we just kind of quiz them. Say, what is it you like? And I don't know. And they start quizzing you. And then you say, I like rocks. And I don't know if I do or not. And they go, rocks. So they made me do some kind of rock presentation. And I didn't know, I didn't, I mean, I just said I liked rocks. I didn't really. So I had to go out and I had to, well, it was humiliating. I had to pick up a lot of rocks outside and pretend I had some sort of collection. And I didn't know anything about them. I was like, this one's nice, I guess. Look, it's the color of salad. I didn't know anything. And I still had to present it. And they go, oh, you know, your love of rocks will take you through your life. You can see hobbies like this are going to always contribute to your continued knowledge, your edification. Go on. Bless you. Goodbye. Here's a book. So that was that. But I can't, I don't have any one thing. And a lot of times adults will just say, I'm going to study up on something so at least I'm the antique typewriter guy or something. I know something. I'm going to go on YouTube and just watch until I've got some niche knowledge down, and then at least I'll have that. Because I'm right now, I feel like I'm going to parties and I just talk about, I don't know that I have anything interesting to say. I've been doing this strategy where I make things up, where I tell, they're not lies as much as there's stories in which the details are not super based in reality. They're non-evidence based story. It's fiction. It's speculative fiction about me and people I know and other things that seem real. And maybe I don't mention it because I like to keep the illusion. I like to keep it real, you know. I don't want to spoil it. You spoil the trick if you tell people you're lying about the story. It's like magic. So why would I tell you how I'd do it? I'm going to tell you like this story as if it happened to me. If it didn't, why would you even be interested? Exactly. Okay, I don't know. I think morality comes in there somewhere. I'm not sure where I'm going to read up on it. That'd be a good thing to be an expert on at a party. Ethics. Or something. Somebody would love you if you introduce you as an ethics professor. So, oh boy, tell me all about what you do. That sounds interesting to me. What is it you do? What is it I do? Oh, I'm an international muralist. See, that's a lie, but right there, at least I've won the argument. No, I don't lie. I try not to. It's debilitating not to, because the truth is so, can be so bland, you know. But I tell people, you know, it's like comfort food is my experiences. It's not spicy. It's like mac and cheese or something. You're gonna eat it and go, you won't remember it. It won't take up any memory space. I just remember a soothing voice. I've been told that too. So I like to fall asleep to your show. I say, why? Do you start thinking and contemplating things? You go, no, I think it's just the tone and timbre of your voice. Oh, you like it's not quite a white noise machine. You know, a lot of people like to listen to things that are more rhythmic to help them fall asleep. White noise, shh, like that. But some people like to hear, like I know a lot of people like to hear, this is a weird one though, Mel Brooks, 2,000-year-old man, doing an impression of an unborn child hearing their father ask, when already? Do you know this? And a lot of people now, you go on YouTube and say, a lot of people like to go to sleep to that, looped. So they'd be like, when already, when already, when already, when already, when already, like that. Can you imagine that, going to sleep to that? That'd be something. I don't need quiet. I can go to sleep to just about anything. Especially if the best though is someone telling me something important that I have to do. That will out like a light. I don't want to worry about my attention span, but not for long, which is a good thing. I feel blessed in many ways. I feel just smart enough to get things to pay bills, to get to jury duty and everything. I know about that's about it though. And I don't know quite like the subtleties like how not to get tricked in business or anything. It hasn't really happened yet. Don't get me wrong. But I hope it doesn't. That's why I don't go into business, because I think I would be tricked in business, because I think maybe I'm gullible, or I'd have no business experience. Also, that's the other one. Say, well, you don't need experience. No, you don't. There's a couple of things you don't need experience to do well, and I think one is business. The other is MMA. You can just, if you think you can do it, that's often enough. That also speaking foreign languages. What you really need is confidence. It doesn't take a lot of study or determination. Are you being sarcastic? I'm being dumb. I'm just showing you what dumb doing in a demonstration. Did you ever see those old cartoons and you're, oh, it's Doofus and Dummy or something? Don't be Doofus, be Dummy. And they show you different ways of doing something. I'm showing you the wrong way to do it. Always do it my way if you want to be wrong. For those of you who tuned out before I said if you want to be wrong, you're doomed. That's why you always keep listening. Always listening to Hardy. Why? I don't know, friend. I'm so glad. Because I'm thankful. No one's going to be more blessed and thankful that you're listening to me. A lot of people secretly will think that they deserve it. Like, I might secretly. I don't know if I secretly feel that. I don't know. I buried it deep down. It might be there. But really, I know that I have a lot to be thankful for. Being able to speak to your fellow human beings, to have their attention even for a small amount of time, oh, what a blessing. What do you do with it? If you care at all, if you are thoughtful at all, you have to think about that and work through it. What shall I present to people? If someone shows up and say, Hardy is speaking, if they show up, what do I say? Do I waste their time? Do I do something that I think will enhance their lives? What if it's rubbish? What if I think I'm enhancing their lives, but I'm spreading lies? What if I think I'm helping them, but I'm destroying them psychologically? That happens. There are those, and I'm sure, they mean well, but they're trying to get you to join a cult and wear a hat that does not suit your face. That may be. So how do I avoid that? I try to always undo myself. I try to all flip a photo negative onto the thing I'm doing. I try to almost negate it in the instance that I create it. I try to make things ephemeral. I try to create clouds. I try to create illusions so that you're not sure about what you saw. You might think I said a thing, but maybe I didn't say that at all. But what you do remember is maybe the words were coming at just the right time. Or maybe I snuck some kind of truth in, and it resonated with you, but in a good way, not like that bridge we talked about, in a good way, like a string on a beautiful instrument. You got plucked. Oh, if I could strum, touch the string or in any way to make it vibrate like that. Change subject. I'm going to move on to something else, because our hearts, they want to keep beating. They want to keep moving. Keep it going. Keep it going. That's the human heart. Keep it up. Keep it up. Keep it going. Keep going. Where are we going? Let's go hiking. Let's go. Keep it up. Keep it up. Human heart beat on. Let's go. When already? When already? The screaming baboon of existence. Hey, I'm going to get you to listen to something I've been talking about for a long time. Just put this on. What is it? It's Hardy Why. I just want to get you to listen to it. Go ahead and put it on. I'm not hearing anything. Hand the headphones to me. I'm talking to him. I don't know what he doesn't hear. All right. Go ahead. Try it again. All right. Well, here. Put these on and go listen to Hardy White. All right. Nothing. Still nothing. I don't hear anything. Are you sure? Hang on a second. Are you there? I'm here. I've been talking. I don't know why they can't hear it. I've been doing my show. I don't know why they hear nothing. I'm so sorry. I know that you said, oh, I recommend my friend Hardy White. And now it sounds like I'm not saying anything. It happens a couple times. This is how it's happened before. People don't know that you need a pair of red glasses to look at the show so that the red writing overlay disappears and you can see the secret code. The other thing is that sometimes it is like a magic eye, and you have to stare at it until your focal point converges a little bit in between the thing you're looking at in your eyes. You know what I mean? So instead of focusing on the magic eye drawing that is my show, try to focus on a space between my show and your brain. See what I mean? Just bring it in 50%. Do you think you can do that? Oh my gosh, now you see it, don't you? My friends, there is magic everywhere. It's not really magic. It's just something that you didn't see before, but now you see it, and you see it because you opened your eyes, or you changed the way you use your eyes. That's really the ticket. That's the trick, is that you have to change the way you do things sometimes, and then whole other worlds will open up. It's just like you're taking, there's books like that that say, all I have to do is wave this instrument in the air in front of me, and it will rip open space and time, and I will see a doorway to another dimension, another world, another universe. Except you don't need some sort of super futuristic device to cut open the space and time. All you need is some twisted, ill-conceived belief or something, and then use that to go somewhere else, to a different space. Come back, though. Sometimes come back and visit, but it's all right to take flights of fancy. I have to do it all the time. I have to use my head as a safe space to fly around in, to think what I will, to think whatever I want at any given time, and to suppress the need to share it. Because let me tell you, this is the most controversial thing I will ever say, and it's embedded in the show right now, and maybe not everybody feels this way, and we have been subjected to lots of opinions about this, but I don't believe that anyone has a right to what you're thinking. And you say, well, do they think that? Yes. A lot of people believe that you have to confess things, thoughts. You must say things out loud. If you are thinking them, you had to go into an office or something, say them, tell them to someone. You'll feel better if you say them. If you get them out of there and I can see them, if you just open up your drawers and let me see what's in those, maybe I could help you. You say, oh, I think you're giving dangerous advice, telling people to suppress things and not share them. No, I'm saying that you can have secrets. You can have secret desires or feelings. Let's say you can be secretly proud of yourself. If you think that being openly proud of yourself would bring ridicule, or people would think you were arrogant or something. I am not going to ever recommend that human beings destroy or harm themselves as a way of becoming better or something. What I see is people who are tormented because there's other people in their head telling them they're bad, or they're for being themselves, or they don't fit in, or they're lesser. And I can't abide that. Oh, my friends, that's why I opened this little place. It's like I bought some old abandoned mall. I say, come to the mall with me. I've said that before. Come, we can play in here. No one has to see us. You can be free. The world is going to oppress. Oh, my goodness, it's going to come down on you. But, you know, don't let it in. The big, vast place. Don't let it in. The great universe, the great, vast universe of your mind. Oh, that is for you. Oh, I feel pressure sometimes. I feel judged. I feel like sometimes afraid.
So where do I go? I go to Harry White's house today. 'Cause he's out of town and he left me the keys and he left the non-dairy creamer. Think I'll give it a whirl. And he left his VCR as well. And some movies he likes a lot from the 80s when he forgot to bring them back to the rental store. And what makes it sad, it was a locally owned one, not one of those chains. So he really helped damage it and put it out of business with his irresponsible, inadvertent thievery. I didn't mean to steal those videotapes. Did I actually do that? No. I didn't. I was just joking. What I did do one time is I borrowed a videotape from a church and didn't return it. Is that bad? I think that's bad. That's pretty bad. I didn't mean it. Wasn't on purpose. I just, one of those thoughtless. It's bad to be thoughtless, isn't it? I don't remember. I'm sure it is. I know it is. Oh, I don't want to hurt your feelings. I don't like to see others in pain. And I don't want to have to wait for that to be the cue. You say, I think you did something. How do you know? Well, this person you're with is sobbing. Oh, no. Oh, I wish I had seen it coming. Maybe if I was thinking more, if I was more present, that wouldn't have happened. If I've done that, if I've ever hurt you in any way, if I've provoked you, it hasn't been on purpose. You know, say, oh, that person's provocative. I'm not. I'm not trying to be provocative necessarily. Are you? I'm trying to not take responsibility. I'm trying to do things stealthily. And why is that? Well, because I believe in sharing. And I believe it's best sometimes to just leave something on the side of the road. And, you know, if it's valuable, somebody will pick it up. And if it's not, it's where it belongs. So I'm just leaving things on the side of the road. And if they're valuable, you'll know it and you'll take them. And if they're not, you'll leave them where they are. That's pollution. I'm polluting. I know that. You're polluting the airwaves. I've heard that expression before. The airwaves have already been polluted. There's so much going on out there. I'm not going to go and criticize it. You've heard it. You heard it all. What are you referring to? I'm referring to overproduction. No, I don't know what I'm referring to. Well, you, not everybody. Some people produce things. Hardy, what do? Listen. What do you dream of doing? Flying? I fly. By the seat of my pants. I fly on a magic carpet that doesn't exist. I fly by sitting down and reaching around to the seat of my pants. And I'll grab at the pocket area and I will pull something out of there. What? I don't know. I just pull it out of that area and I know that I will have something worth sharing because there are no words that one human being that can communicate to another that aren't valuable. It's like if I was just to dump a big trunk load full of clothes on you, something you're going to use. Clothes are valuable to human beings, and if they're not valuable to you, pass them on to someone who does need clothes, someone who does need a jacket. There were people coming around door to door one time. I was with an elderly relative, and we opened the door together, and there was someone out there, and they said, we are collecting money to buy coats for people who need them. And my elderly relative said, turned to me and said, why do they deserve cokes? I go, first of all, he didn't say coke. He said coats. And second of all, why would you begrudge him? That's even cheaper. Why would you begrudge him a can of soda? Some people need one. You need one. Go back and sip your can of soda. I'm going to go ahead and give some money for the coat collection. I'll just give you a coat. How about that? And guess what's in both pockets? Soda. Not the brand you mentioned, but it doesn't matter. Because if you're really out there and you say, I need a cola, you don't mind. It could be the cola, the brand of the supermarket you're buying it from, and it doesn't matter to you if you need a coat that bad. You'll say, I'll take anything. I don't care what's in the pockets. I'll have them emptied professionally.
I've had my pockets emptied professionally. Has that ever happened to you? You go, whoops, should have seen that coming. That's good work if you can get it. Free money. Not for me. I don't mind working hard. It depends what it is, though. I prefer hard work that's not. Not that's easy, but, you know, it doesn't feel hard because you enjoy doing it. I like digging. I've always liked digging because I think it's very satisfying. You dig something, you dig a hole. It was with a shovel. It's with an excavator. And it got a machinery. It's like, I did something today. I dug a hole. There wasn't a hole there. Now there's a hole there. There's not supposed to be a hole there. But I've done it, and I can prove it. And it feels like a hard day's work, and I'm exhausted, and my hands are bleeding like the old man in the sea. And there we are, full hard day's work. And I'm turning in my notice tomorrow because I cannot do that 2 days in a row. But that was beautiful. That felt great. I love it. Love to go out there. Test yourself. I love to test myself. I will lock myself in a room with a sharp pencil, and I'll say, go. And I'll go, what's going on? But then they go. I don't even know what I'm testing myself for, but I know in a way that I'm unprepared and failing. But I'm always the first one done. So that gives me a little bit hope. Go, was it easy? Or did I just, am I so stupid that I wrote in all the wrong answers? I may never know. There's not always immediate feedback on what you do in life. A lot of times you never find out because the answers come back long after you're gone. So, oh, if so-and-so was still alive, they'd see what a success they were. Oh, tragic. That happens a lot. Maybe we should praise people. I say praise people while they're alive, even if it's a lie. Because if they're gone and you didn't do it, and they deserved it, that's tragedy. If you gave something to somebody, and ultimately, maybe they didn't deserve it, so what? They're gone. There's no tragedy. You can stop it now. You see what I'm saying? It never really hurts to encourage. I always encourage people. And I think about it, because what if you're encouraging somebody who's not very good at something? Are you setting them up for disappointment? Well, it depends on how you encourage them. I would never say to somebody, oh, you're the best, or something like that if they weren't. But I would try to figure out if it gave them joy or not. And I would always encourage somebody to do something that gave you joy, regardless. And that's because I'm not afraid for my fellow human beings to have joy. I think they need it. And I know it's not permanent. So even if they have it for a bit, it's going to be gone. Oh, life is too short to begrudge people a little bit of happiness. And it's much too short to not take care of one another. Oh, much too short. You know? And I just hope that you know that there are other wonderful humans and creatures out there in the world. You're not alone. As alone as you feel right now, as much loss as you're feeling, as alienated as you may feel, you are not alone. There are others. And your life may cross paths with them. And if you have a chance to reap some joy out of that, do it. Do it. And understand that these are your wonderful siblings and co-livers, co-existers, I guess. I don't know what they are. Those who are alive at the same time. We have a special bond. We were alive at the same time. That's what gives us, though, we fantasize about being in a sort of heaven so that you can bump into a celebrity and say, I remember the early 80s, just like you do, dead celebrity.
Well, yes, thank you. Okay.
Good. And then you move on. But it's wonderful. You always have that shared thing. To be in the cohorts. Oh, it's good to be a cohort. Coco. We put the cuckoo in co-cohorts, didn't we? Isn't that crazy? We just say the craziest things when we get together. Oh, my gosh. I know you're cringing. And what I'm trying to do is liberate, you see. Now you've had enough. You can go out in the world. So maybe I've outgrown Hardy. Yes, that is my proudest moment when people say, I'm no longer into your show. Now I can move on. And I feel I don't need it anymore. You go, oh, great, that makes me feel so good, just like an empty nester. Yes, go ahead, move on. Now you're ready to go out. I heard your show, I started it, and then I discovered radio, and I discovered, wow, that's just the beginning. Hardy's nothing. You should hear real radio, and go, oh, I'm glad I got you hooked. I'm glad I got you on it. I'm glad that my homemade spaghetti has turned you on to say, I discovered how it's really made. Come on. Thank you, Hardy, for turning me on to spaghetti. Awesome. I want that. I want it to be an improvement. I want you to build on the past. I don't need credit. I just need just love. And we don't always need to be together. I just need your support. I just need to, if you're ever polled or anything, you say you listen to the show. That's all I need. Or if there's ever a phone campaign, you call in and you go, rah, 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 rah. I'm on Team Hardy or whatever. That's all I require. You don't have to listen or anything. Just go ahead and do not reject me. Do not forsake me, oh my friends and listeners out there. No, do not forsake me. What would that look like? I don't know. I'd say maybe writing a really virulent, nasty, critical op-ed about how I'm everything that's wrong with radio and the world. That's the line. If you did that, you'd hurt me deeply, I think. Quick email saying, I write back, but sometimes it takes weeks and weeks because of the horrible way my brain works. It's so strange. I'll read your email a million times and think about it. And I just, it's so hard to commit to a response. I guess that's how self-conscious I am. Isn't that horrible? Just be yourself. Oh, I try, but I want to always say the right thing. And then I end up, you're sitting there going, what a selfish piece of blah, blah, blah. That guy is, can't even write back, making excuses for being selfish. I know, but I recently got a letter from a friend, and they're exactly the same way. It's not. It's a weird thing. You get like, it's the same thing that social anxiety comes from. You get afraid that you're going to say something stupid. Now, how can you do radio an hour a week like that and still be afraid of saying something stupid? Aren't you a neurotic mess? You did it. You figured it out. You know me. Yes, I am and I'm not. Because there's part of me that always wants to do the right thing, that always wants to be the gentlest, be my best self. But there's also part of me, and it's the part of me that I use to forgive myself, that says, hey, sometimes it's better to get it done. Sometimes it's better to show up empty-handed than to not show up. Sometimes it's better to show up empty-handed than to not show up. Sometimes your presence is all that's required. Do you understand that nobody needs anything from you? You don't have to bring anything. You don't have to give anything. That all they want is you sometimes. Sometimes all that is required is your presence. Showing up. Being there. And that's what I like to do with you. Say, do you have something to say to me all the time? No. Why don't you just quit or not do a show? That'd be silly. Because I know our time together is valuable. I know that hearing another human being say certain things at a regular interval is important. If it weren't, there wouldn't be all these houses of worship around here. All these people, all these are buildings where people go repeatedly to hear the same thing said to them. So are the movie theaters. We need to hear certain messages on a regular basis. It isn't redundant, and it isn't tiresome.
It is tiresome.
It isn't tiresome.
It is. Some of it is tiresome.
Some of it is tiresome. Then just go for the music. You could say all these could be church analogies. Just go for the music. Go for the fellowship. They have donuts. Go for the donuts. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to stay awake. And close your eyes. Everybody think, oh, that person's deep in contemplative prayer. Oh, now they're, I guess they're speaking in tongues or something. No. Oh, they are resting. Human beings, it's important they're there still. Because you can wake them up and they'll be there for the coffee and donuts. And that's why I'm here anyway, because the fellow snoring has a roofing company and I wanted to talk to him. The way I'm going to approach it is going to say, hey, I know you're in the roofing business. I just wonder if I need a new roof. I just wonder if you give me a recommendation. And that'll be stupid because he has a, say, well, why don't you just use me? And you say, well, I don't know how much money. We've been having a lot of hard times. As you know, you probably heard our name being read out for a prayer. Plan that ahead. You might have heard that. And so we don't have a heck of a lot of money. You say, well, we're here together. Maybe I could do your roof for a discount. Oh, now cry. And so that would be very meaningful to us. Thank you. So there are reasons, there are benefits for showing up sometimes. If you hadn't shown up, you wouldn't have had that. You'd have to pay full price for your roof. That's not good. Are you saying that that's what religion is for? Is for, it's just like the Chamber of Commerce? I don't know. I don't go to your church. But I do know that it's so good to have community. And it's so good to know what we're going through. And I can't know everybody individually. But I do know this, that if a lot of my friends are going through things, so you must be too. I've had friends lose parents recently. A couple of them. You might have too. I don't know. But I'm saying that I'd love to at least recognize that and be a voice that says, I'm sorry, and I know how heavy the human heart can get, and I know what loss is, and I know what that kind of hurt is. And I say that if you want, it's wonderful to have it acknowledged, isn't it? And maybe if nobody that you know is acknowledging it, please let me at least, you know, and if this is redundant, just pass it on. Just pass it on. That's the way I look at it. Oh, my friends, let's do this. Let's practice clapping our hands. I get enthusiastic and I don't know where it ends. I've got to clap when I am happy. I did this the other day. A friend was cooking and the food was looking better and better. Oh, it was looking amazing. And I started clapping. Like, not like an audience clapping. I started doing a little dance and everything. And I looked like an idiot. But it came from deep, deep inside. It was just this joy that I felt. I felt like expressing myself. Because this beautiful gift of my friend's skill and food and everything. And I was overwhelmed. And I couldn't contain it. And nobody made me feel like an idiot. They understood because they felt that joy too. It's just that mine came out in a sillier way. And so I know that my joy comes out in a silly way. And I put it forward all the time here in front of people. And perhaps it's a little bit embarrassing. But maybe I've liberated you a little bit. And maybe now you're a little less afraid to be joyful and to express yourself. And to have what's inside and outside up to you, you know, who you are, that's up to you, inside and outside. My friends, thank you for listening. This is Hardy White on Miracle Nutrition on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in New York City, New York, and Rockland County, New York, and online at WFMU.org worldwide. Oh, my friends, it's so good to be able to share these times with you. Please continue to listen to this wonderful radio station. Keep us in your hearts and thoughts always. And stay tuned for more wonderful, wonderful music and fellowship on this station, which is, like I said, WFMU. This isn't some generic thing or something. Bless you. I'll see you again next week. Thank you.
Jesus, my master, lily of the valley. Please look.